I want to talk about bringing the crippled to Christ. Look in Mark chapter 2, and there is in that chapter, in that very text that Lawrence read to us, there are some things that are detailed, and you may want to open your Bible to Mark chapter 2. We're not going to look at every verse in the text at this moment. We're going to talk about the text, but it might be good for you to have that text before you. You know the story of what happened here. And there was a crippled man, and some way, somehow, his friends or somebody in his life saw that crippled man. I'm not going to read these verses. They've already been read. But let me suggest to you that as we look at the text, it begins with that crippled man lying in his bed. You've heard me say, as I read the Bible, I read this through the perception of, I may read a story four or five times and become a different character. Have you ever thought about that man lying in that bed and read this story from his viewpoint? What about the viewpoint of the friends? How did all that come about? Did they really ever expect the kinds of things that transpired, especially they took a crippled man to Jesus and Jesus forgave him of his sins? That's not why they took him. And then especially, I want you to be one of those individuals who was able to get inside that house. You read the text, you look at the text, you couldn't even get in the door. That house was packed. And you're sitting in that, sitting inside that, and all of a sudden somebody tears the roof off in front of you, above you. Pieces start falling down on you. You don't have a clue what's going on. The Bible comes alive when you'll do that thing. It all begins with a bedfast man who's unable to walk. The only one who can help him arrives in town. I wonder if he'd ever been to the doctor. I wonder how many times he'd filled out those insurance forms as he went from one doctor to another, to another doctor. You know the kinds of things that I'm talking about. I wonder if he'd had people to say, well, my cousin had what you had and he died in about 2 days. You know, that's the kind of thing. But there is somebody in that town that can help him. It is something that we may have never thought of, but there's no way for him to get there. And perhaps this sick man is not even aware that Jesus is in town. I don't know that as a fact. We've always made the assumption that he picked up his cell phone and called his four closest friends, or at least text them if they were younger, because I know young people don't talk on the phone, they just text. And so he texted his young friends and said, could you come over here? I got a favor for you. It could have been the totally different way. You see, he either saw his needs or his friends saw his needs. You stop and reflect about that in the second scenario, and that may be the way you first thought about it. But here's this man that is crippled and he's unable to get to where Jesus is. He may not himself know that Jesus is in that town. I think it is interesting that Jesus magnifies not the faith of the crippled man, but the faith of his four friends. And that might be some indication that there were some friends who knew about this situation. They said, look, we've got a crippled man, and we've got somebody that can help him. And so they pick up that crippled man on that bed sheet, and they let nothing keep them from bringing him to Jesus. You got to envision this. How on earth do you get a crippled man up on top of a house? Stop and think about that. Well, they had those steps on the outside, and that's very likely that they did. But Richard, you'd remember the time that we baptized that 95-year-old woman in this very building, unable to walk up the steps that lead up to our baptistry. We asked for some strong men, and some not so strong turned up, and thank you, Richard, and you helped us to grab that bottom of that chair and carry that man up the steps. It was an amazing thing. It's the kind of thing you'll never forget. Richard, were there two or three of us in the baptistry, including the elderly woman, as we took that chair and immersed her? How do you get a crippled man up on top of the house? That in and of itself is really amazing. Now, today's lesson is not about baptizing crippled people. It's not about getting folks to the doctor and making sure they get there to see their doctors on time. Today's lesson is to say, let us bring the crippled to Jesus. It's a great story. But if we'll stop and think about this story for just a moment, we will learn some lessons that are truly, truly remarkable. His friends did not say, well, if there's ever anything, crippled man, that I can do for you, I'm your friend. You just let me know what I can do. Sometimes we say that, and I hope every time we say that, that we mean it. But sometimes it may just come out of nicety. I remember several years ago, it goes all the way back, I guess, before we were even in this building, some of the ladies went over to clean the house for some lady in the church, and nobody wanted to clean the toilets. You understand what I'm talking about? Yeah, I'll come over there and help. And they got over there, and there she was, and there was the bathroom, and you can imagine because of her sickness what the condition of that was in, and hardly anybody wanted to clean the toilets. If I had anything I can do to help you, crippled brother, just let me know. That's not where they were. There was a crippled brother that was there. There was a crippled person that was there. And they did not just simply say, well, I sure hope you get better. I want you to understand the application of this is not about crippled people. It's not even about us visiting the sick, nor is it necessarily about us cleaning up the houses of elderly people which need to be cleaned up. This whole lesson has to do with the fact that if we really are serious about singing the songs that we sing that say, lead me to some soul today, send the light, perhaps better to sing, take the light, and all of those verses, all of those things that are part of that which we sing, it's got to be far more than just saying words. Furthermore, they didn't sit around forever discussing, well, how are we going to do this? I love the fact that this whole thing, Jeff, in relationship to the Bahamas, is an ongoing how are we going to do this. If there first be a willing mind, it's accepted that which a man has, and how all of this is developed in relationship to the home. It's an ever ongoing thing. And it's remarkable the things that have transpired. But you see, these men did not say, all right, now I'll tell you what, next Thursday, let's get together and see how we can work this out. There was a need for a crippled man, and they said, let's do it. And we need to understand, we may have never had a clash in carrying cripples in bed sheets. And I'm speaking spiritually. But that's no excuse for us not at least doing whatever we can do. They arrived at the house and the door was blocked. I think it is remarkable that it is either in this account, it could be another account, that even his mother and father could not even get into the house where he was. That's how full the house was. When Jesus arrived in a place, it was so full nobody could get in. Yet that didn't stop them. That did not stop them. They looked up and they said, there's a roof up there. Let's go up on the roof. And they didn't let that closed roof up there stop them. Sometimes it's remarkable the slightest excuse can be used to keep us from dealing with crippled people. Why are we, and to make it personal, why am I, to make it more personal, why are you singularly, you individually, not you all, not y'all, why are you not involved in helping crippled people? And that's not to try to be negative and put some individuals on a guilt trip. It's to try to make us think that there are crippled people that are all around them. And can you imagine? Can you imagine the criticism they will receive if you've been sitting in that house and the roof is falling in on you? And the criticism that came out of that. He disrupted everything that was going on there. And so what other people think about you is not an excuse for you not doing whatever can be done to help crippled people. There are five truths we need to recognize. We'll try to get through these as quickly as we can. The world is crippled. And the world is lost. And you remember that question that was asked, who is my neighbor? You're to love your neighbor as yourself, and think about loving your neighbor as yourself in relationship to crippled people. Who is my neighbor? All the world is crippled. Everybody you know that's not saved is crippled because the world is lost, and we need to understand that's what this is all about. Crippled people may be friends. Crippled people may be people at work. Crippled people may be our family members. But crippled people could literally be the folks that live next door to us. You drive out of your driveway. You get in your car, you walk down the sidewalk, if you see them and you wave at them. We don't live as close communities like it was many years ago in rural areas where everybody knew everybody's business. But you and I need to understand that there are those people that are all around us that are crippled. And the point that we're trying to make is, we are the only ambassadors that Christ has. If not you, if not me, I'm not saying y'all when I say you. If not you, then who? You live in a unique world. If not you, who in your world? The world is lost, and we're lost. One of the saddest statements I ever heard was, standing before God on the day of judgment and hear Jesus say, as he looks in the books and the way that we've lived and compared ourselves, for the Lord to look at us individually and say, you let my world go to hell. You see, we talked about those crippled, those people who brought the crippled man to the Lord. Can we look at similar points and talk about us bringing crippled men to the Lord? Real neighbors do more than just say to neighbors, If there's ever anything I can do to help you, you let me know. Imagine seeing that crippled man unable to get to where he wanted to be and walk over to him, and he's hungry, he needs food, he needs something. And we say, if there's ever anything I can do to help you, the guy's starving to death. And we turn and walk away. Is there something you can do to help the crippled around you? If that hurricane had come, if it hit West Palm Beach instead of the Bahamas, I know what you would have done for your neighbors. There's nothing that you had you would not share. I remember when it hit Miami, when Andrew hit Miami, my cousin was down there, and he said he had a neighbor that had some really expensive, rich food. He'd imported from all over the world. He had it in his freezer, and he lost his electricity. He said that man had a block party like you would not believe. And you would have done the same thing. Not that you've got exotic food, but you've got some good hot dogs that are in there, and you've got some cans of Vienna sausages in there. And I know what you would do if they were physically in need. And by our lives, we would say, if there's anything I can do, you let me know. And we would know what their needs were, and we would address it spiritually. Don't sit around waiting for an opportunity to talk about how we're going to do this. Real neighbors do more than just talk about telling others. And real neighbors overcome obstacles. We have been challenged by our elders, by our leaders in this church. This Saturday, to do some rather specific things. There are over 300 churches of Christ in America who've already committed themselves to go knock on doors. And while we've not had great experience in going up and down the streets, trying to knock on doors, especially in a world that is so shut down, nobody wants you to come to their doors. One of the last time, it may be the very last time, it could have been the next to the last time, we're out knocking on doors, a group are out knocking on doors, and the police came up and says, get out of this neighborhood. And so we want to help in that. But instead of being intrusive, like Jehovah's Witnesses who come and knock on your door at the most inopportune times, our elders have said, here's what we want you to do. On that table outside, there are all of these cards that are there. And last week we first talked about these cards, but I'd like to think that every family would take two or three of these cards. We're not asking you to knock on every door in your neighborhood. But imagine knowing that this next Sunday, that the 200 families that are in this auditorium this morning would have gone out and invited each of them, two or three families, 500 invitations given. And not in an intrusive way, but the kind of thing that is personal, that can say to other individuals, we're having something very, very special next Sunday down at the church building, and we want to invite you. My family and I want to invite you to come and be a part of it. There's some material that you can give out. We've been giving out several hundred of these Discovery Magazine over the month. What about those individuals that you have given this kind of magazine to? Why would you not go, especially if it included a personal invitation, why would you not go and give them the new copy of the Discovery Magazine? Or why not some of these Bible bookmarkers that are there that has on it what Jesus expects of you and why, what Jesus did for you and why, just as a bookmarker, and go and give it to them. Because then they'll have on this the very information about the Palm Beach Lakes Church of Christ. There are these other brochures that are out there. They're on the tables. You look at the booklets that are there and say, you know, my neighbor to the left, they might really enjoy this one. This is something we've had a conversation about. But above all else, go to that crippled neighbor and say to them, there's a physician in town. There's a physician in town. I want to tell you about him. Our elders have said, can we trust you? Imagine the impact of 500 or more personal invitations next Saturday given as you walk out your front door, go left or right, across the hallway, across the street to those individuals that are there. Hopefully you'll know them by name and say we're having something really special at church. That's so important that we keep that in mind, and especially keep in mind the impact that it'll have on those individuals who come. Poetry has a way of talking to our souls. I want to read a poem to you, but I want to set this poem up. I want you to envision the face of your neighbor. I want you to think about somebody specifically. And I want you to imagine that person, that man or that woman, saying these things to you. My friend, I stand to the judgment now and feel that you are to blame somehow. On earth I walk with you day by day, and never did you point the way. You knew the Lord in truth and glory, but never did you tell me the story. My knowledge then was very dim. You could have led me safe to him. Though we live together here on earth, you never told me of the second birth. And now I stand this day condemned because you failed to mention him. You taught me many things, that's true. I called you friend and trusted you. But I learn now that it's too late. You could have kept me from this awful fate. We walk by day and talk by night, and yet you showed me not the light. You let me live and love and die. You knew I'd never live on high. Yes, I called you friend in life and trusted you through joy and strife. And yet on coming to this dreadful end, I cannot now call you my friend. The world is crippled. The physician is here. And if we keep our mouths shut, we're not their friends. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much that you've entrusted us with the gospel. And we think, Father, that about how this church has been placed in a position to work with those churches in the Bahamas just geographically because where we are. That you have placed each one of us individually, geographically where we are, in a world not in distant islands, but on the very street where we live, in the houses of our neighbors. And we pray, Father, that we'll not let you down. Help us, Father, to not take the treasure that you've given to us, and hide it somewhere, securely in our hearts or in a closed Bible. Help us to really mean it when we say to those around us, if there's ever anything I can do for you, help us, Father, all the days of our lives, but especially this coming Saturday, to understand what we have said and to do more than just say, if there's ever anything I can do for you. Help us to be strong. Help us to be courageous. And help us to do your will. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we come to that part of our service where we extend the invitation of Jesus, where we say you can become a Christian. Because you see, Jesus heals crippled men. And you may be crippled. And we want you to understand that the way Jesus heals crippled men is to ask you to believe that he is the Son of God. That's what John 8:24 says. Many other verses say this. The way God heals crippled men is by repentance. The Lord Jesus has asked you to make up your mind, which side are you on? And to repent, change your mind. And when you're not ashamed to say that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you then can be immersed in water. And at that time, when baptized into his death, the blood of Jesus will wash away every sin in your life. Think about that. Think about your past. And think about having all of that removed from your life to never have to face it on the day of judgment. And the most wonderful thing happens when you do this. When you are immersed for the remission of your sins, they're forgiven. And then you become a part of his family. It is a birth of water and of the Spirit. Have you been born of water and the Spirit? And then it says to all of us who've done those things, don't you ever, ever give up. Don't you ever give up. You be faithful until the day that you die. If there's sin in your life that needs to be dealt with, let us help you this morning deal with it in any way that we can. Let us know by coming to the front right now as together we stand and sing. Will you come?